Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this morning and for what is about to happen. We pray, Father, for Taylor and Miriam. We thank you for them. We thank you, Father, for their desire this morning to profess their faith, to obey the call to be baptized as believers, and to devote their lives to represent Christ as a faithful disciple. Oh Lord, I pray for them. Give them courage. Give them boldness. Father, hold them up as they proclaim their faith to us and as they are baptized. We pray, Father, for their spiritual protection. Father, that you would empower them and protect them. And Father, I pray that through their testimony, through their witness this morning, that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified, that we would praise his name. You would help us to all gain a greater understanding of the amazing gospel of our Lord Jesus. So we pray for them now and for all of us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Before we hear Taylor and Miriam's testimonies and their professions of faith, I wanted to just share a brief message on the significance of Christian baptism. And I'm using the word significance for an intentionally dual purpose. First of all, Christian baptism is significant in that it is an important ordinance of the church and an important moment for the Christian that's being baptized. So it's very significant in that regard. If you were baptized as a believer, I'm sure you remember it as being significant to you, very meaningful to you. But Christian baptism is also a sign. It's a sign pointing us to biblical truth in regards to the gospel and how God has saved his people. So we're going to take a few minutes to consider those signs or that significance to baptism. There are several signs we could discuss, but I've just chosen four, and I'll go through them briefly. The first is Christian baptism is a sign of our entrance into the people of God or the church. Secondly, it is a sign of our identifying with Jesus. Number three, baptism is a sign pointing to Christ's saving work on our behalf. And number four, it is an outward sign revealing the inward reality of our being born again in Christ Jesus. So let's go through each one of those signs here briefly. Number one, again, Christian baptism is a sign of our entrance into the people of God, the church. In the scriptures, we don't see God's people practicing baptism until at the time of Christ, when John the Baptist comes on the scene to prepare the way or prepare God's people for the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. We don't, we do see some ceremonial washings that are done by the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament, preparing themselves for their ministry in the temple, or ceremonial washings for those with illnesses such as leprosy, but we don't see baptisms. But yet, when John the Baptist began his ministry, baptism was not a new thing. People understood what it was. They understood what it signified. And that's because it was regularly practiced on Gentiles who wanted to join God's covenant people. So Gentiles were the ones who were being baptized. And you might ask why? Well, it's because one of the most significant events in the history of God's people, when God was identifying with them and when they were identified as God's people, was when God saved them through the waters of the Red Sea when he delivered them from Egypt. Now, if you remember the story, Moses had led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and had led them up to the Red Sea, but then Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to pursue them, to enslave them once again. But God parted the Red Sea, and Moses led the people of Israel through on dry ground, that is, through the midst of the water on both sides. And then after they were all safely on the other shore, the waters of God's judgment came crashing down upon the chariot army of Egypt, destroying them all. So God saved Israel by having them pass through the waters of the Red Sea and then made them his covenant people at Mount Sinai. And then 40 years later, as the children and grandchildren of those Israelites who passed through the waters of the Red Sea were on the shore of the Jordan River, God did the same thing again. He miraculously stopped the water of the Jordan River, which was high at flood stage. And now Joshua, the successor to Moses, led the people of God as they passed through the waters of the Jordan and walking on dry ground into the promised land. So that passing through the waters of the Jordan was a memorable sign of God fulfilling his promise to his people. It was a way for God to say to his people then, just as I was with you at the Red Sea, so I will be with you now as you settle into this land of promise. So then in order to identify with God's covenant people, Gentiles would also have to pass through the waters. Therefore, they would be baptized. They would turn away from their evil, godless way of living and pass through the waters of baptism as part of their initiation into the people of God. And now, in Matthew 28, we hear the words of Christ to his disciples, "To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The Lord Jesus was continuing that practice of water baptism, of going through the waters as an initiation rite into the new people of God. And so when someone who was outside of the people of God comes to saving faith in Christ, they're baptized to identify with the church of the Lord Jesus. So, secondly, baptism is a sign of our identifying with Jesus. Now, you might be saying, but then if only Gentiles were baptized, why was John primarily baptizing other Jews as he was preparing them to meet the Messiah? Well, for that, we just need to remember what John's primary message was and how his baptism was described by the gospel writers. So when John is introduced at the beginning of Matthew 3, Matthew tells us, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And then in verse 11 of Matthew 3, John describes his baptism saying, "I baptize you with water for repentance." The Jewish people had gone astray. These Jews who came to John for baptism recognized that they were living in sin, they were ungodly, they were in effect living like Gentiles. They were wicked. They were under God's judgment. They needed to be reborn by the Spirit. They needed to re-enter a renewed land of promise to be in fellowship with God. Therefore, they needed to repent and pass through the waters of baptism. But then something surprising happened. Jesus comes to John to be baptized. Matthew says John would have prevented him saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John's like, "This is a baptism of repentance. You have nothing to repent of. What are you doing coming to me to be baptized?" He's saying, "Look, this can't be right. Between the two of us, I am the one who is the sinner. I am the one who is the Gentile compared to you. You don't need to pass through these waters." But Jesus tells John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus said, "This is a part of the mission for which I was sent forth to do. To identify myself with sinners." So Jesus does this. He gets in the same water with the sinners, representing them, saying in effect, "I'm with them." And when we are baptized, we identify ourselves with him, saying in effect, by our baptism, "I'm with Jesus." Third sign, it's a sign pointing to Christ's saving work on our behalf. Or we could say it's a picture or a demonstration of the gospel. In Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, we read this. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So Christ Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, coming under God's judgment in our place. His body was then buried in a tomb, showing he was really dead. And then on the third day, he was raised to life out of that tomb. So when you witness a Christian baptism, you see those key gospel realities played out in front of you. We've already mentioned God's judgment on the Egyptians through water at the Red Sea. We can also point to the great flood in Genesis 6 as a clear sign or a clear example of God using water as his condemning judgment upon sinful humanity. So the Christian being baptized is buried under the water, buried under the waters of judgment, pointing back to Christ's death and burial, Christ experiencing God's judgment for us. So Christ experienced God's judgment for the Christian being baptized while we are just acting it out. And then again, like Christ, the Christian is raised up out of the water, symbolizing Christ's resurrection. So the death and resurrection of Christ are symbolized in Christian baptism. And we are reminded of this every time we witness a baptism take place. It clearly demonstrates the work of Christ to save us. Christ lived for us. Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ rose again for us. And finally, the fourth sign, probably the most significant of the four signs, that baptism is an outward sign revealing the inward reality or our regeneration or our being born again in Christ Jesus. So an important part of Christian baptism is the Christian's profession of faith. The Christian gives a verbal testimony before the church that she or he has been born again. They describe how they came to realize their need for Christ's forgiving grace, how their heart changed when they came to put their hope in Christ alone for their salvation. And then when they get into the water and they are baptized by a representative of the church, their going under the water and being brought up again symbolizes their death to their old self, and their coming up out of the water signifies their sins being washed away and their rising up to a new life united to Christ. They had already experienced all of this inwardly before their baptism, but now in their baptism, it's demonstrated physically. It is a truth of their conversion that they can physically see, feel, and touch. J.I. Packer, in his little book, Concise Theology, that some of our men have been reading through, describes what it means for a believer to be baptized. He says this: receiving the sign in faith assures the persons baptized that God's gift of new life in Christ is freely given to them. At the same time, it commits them to live henceforth in a new way as committed disciples of Jesus. Baptism signifies a watershed point in human life because it signifies a new creational ingrafting into Christ's risen life.